Second of Chronicles, chapter 32. After these things and this faithfulness, we've just been reading of Hezekiah destroying all the idols and keeping the Passover and getting the people to worship God. After all this, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fortified cities and thought to win them for himself. Well, just shows that you don't get immediate blessing for being righteous. And it's also true that the wicked prosper, as Job had to learn. So he was so righteous, that's how he's presented, and then the Assyrians come and attack him, and you can also work out that he became very ill at the same time. So it just shows that it's not quite as simple as if you're good, you get blessing, and if you're wicked, you get some terrible judgment in your life. The time when we're going to have blessing and we're going to have the reward for righteousness is when Jesus comes back. When Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib had come and that he was set to fight against Jerusalem, because Sennacherib took all the cities of Judah apart from Jerusalem, he took advice with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the springs which were outside of the city, and they helped him. But actually, Hezekiah is criticized for that by Isaiah in Isaiah's prophecies, where he says that he did this in his own strength when he ought to have been trusting God. So many people gathered together and they stopped all the springs and the brook that flowed through the midst of the land, saying, "Why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water?" He took courage and built up all the wall that was broken down and raised it up to the towers, and strengthened Millo in the city of David and made weapons and shields in abundance. But you've got to read the whole Bible together, and Isaiah criticizes him for that, for trusting in his own strength. He set captains of war over the people and gathered them together and spoke to their hearts, saying, "Be strong and courageous, don't be afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria or for his great army, for there is a greater one with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is Yahweh our God to help us and to fight our battles." And the people rested themselves on the words of Hezekiah. So Isaiah criticizes him for not having faith at this time, and yet clearly he does speak very much in the language of faith, that there's more with us than with him. And says, look, let's trust in God to help us and to fight our battles. So you can have faith and yet also unbelief at the same time, like the man said to Jesus, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." Of course, you've got to be very careful that we're not hypocrites, but it is also true that nobody's faith is absolutely complete. After this, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, sent his servants to Jerusalem, to Hezekiah and to all Judah. Thus says Sennacherib, king of Assyria, "In whom do you trust that you remain under siege in Jerusalem?" In other words, why don't you come out and surrender to us? "Doesn't Hezekiah persuade you to give you over to die by famine and by thirst by saying, 'Yahweh our God will deliver us'?" He's saying, look, if you trust in this God of yours, you're just going to die of famine and thirst. "Hasn't the same Hezekiah taken away his high places and his altars and commanded Judah and Jerusalem, saying, 'You shall worship before one altar'?" Well, this was true. Hezekiah had cut down a lot of the altars of the idols, but here Sennacherib says he's cut down the altars of Yahweh. So they were worshipping the idols, but they were calling it worshipping God. And that's what we can do. We can trust in God whilst we're really worshipping idols. God wants our complete heart. "Don't you know what I and my fathers have done to all the peoples of the lands? Were the gods of the nations of the lands in any way able to deliver their land out of my hand?" That's true. All those idols failed, and it depended which way you looked at it. You could say, oh no, all the gods couldn't save anyone from Sennacherib. Or you could look at it and say, yeah, sure, of course they couldn't, because they are not the true God. He goes on, "Was there among all the gods of those nations whom my fathers utterly destroyed, was there any of the idols that could deliver his people out of my hand? Do you think your God is able to deliver you out of my hand? Don't let Hezekiah deceive you nor persuade you. Don't believe him. For no god of any nation was able to deliver his people out of my hand. How much less will your God deliver you out of my hand?" His servants spoke yet more against Yahweh and against Hezekiah. He also wrote letters insulting Yahweh and to speak against him, saying, "As the gods of the nations of the lands which have not delivered their people out of my hand, so shall the God of Hezekiah not deliver his people out of my hand." Well, this is the kind of thing that we meet with people in the world considering us to just be foolish because we believe in God, because we trust in him and not in the things of this world. They cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language to the people of Jerusalem who were on the wall to frighten them. They spoke of the God of Jerusalem as if he was just one of the gods of the peoples of the land, which are the work of men's hands. So this was a big test to the people. Is our God just like any other God? Is our religion just as good as anyone else's? Hezekiah the king and Isaiah the prophet prayed and cried to heaven. Yahweh sent an angel who cut off all the mighty men of valor and the leaders and captains in the camp of the king of Assyria. In Isaiah it says that one angel went out and killed 185,000. So when Hezekiah had said there's more with us than with him, he knew there was thousands of angels on their side, and even just one of them could do that. So the point is, God is all-powerful. He can absolutely do anything. So the king of Assyria returned with shame to his own land. And when he came into the house of his God, those who came forth from his own body killed him there with the sword. Well, he'd seen that his God couldn't give victory against Yahweh, so I think the idea was that God was giving even him a chance to repent, but he doesn't take it. It was while he was bowed down, worshipping, probably with his face to the ground, kneeling down, that's right, worshipping an idol, his own sons.
Idols, meaning big statues, or big statues made up from gold.
That's right, it could have been one like that, that's right. There he was, falling down, bowed down before this big statue, and his sons came up behind him and killed him with the sword. Thus Yahweh saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, king of Assyria, and guided them on every side. Many brought gifts to Yahweh, to Jerusalem, and precious things to Hezekiah, king of Judah, so that he was exalted in the eyes of all nations from thenceforth. Now, you notice that they brought the gifts to Yahweh. They wanted to become worshippers of Yahweh. But then, tragically, Hezekiah goes wrong. In those days, Hezekiah was sick to death, and he prayed to Yahweh, and he spoke to him and gave him a sign. In fact, God gave him another 15 years to live. But Hezekiah didn't render again according to the grace done to him. His heart was lifted up, therefore there was wrath on him and on Judah and Jerusalem. Well, what a challenge to us that we also receive so much grace. This means really a gift. We receive grace from God, so many gifts, but do we render again back to him according to the grace done to us? That's the question. Hezekiah was given 15 years, but he doesn't seem to have used it well. He raises this awful son called Manasseh, one of the worst kings of Judah. And these gifts that were given to Yahweh, he puts in his house and he shows them off to the messengers who come from Babylon, as if they were his. Nevertheless, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of Yahweh didn't come on them in the days of Hezekiah. Hezekiah had great riches and honor, and he set up treasuries for silver, gold, and precious stones, storehouses for the increase of grain and new wine, for God gave him very much substance. So you see again a connection between being really wealthy or becoming really wealthy and becoming proud and turning away from God. So that's what Jesus says. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom. So it's not surprising then that God doesn't give his people great wealth. He does give some people at some times wealth, but generally he knows that for most of us, if we're wealthy, this is not going to help us to the kingdom, and he wants us to be in his kingdom more than anything else. And if that's what we want more than anything else, then we'll understand that that is his wisdom. This same Hezekiah stopped the upper spring of the waters of Gihon and brought them straight down on the west side of the city of David. Hezekiah prospered in all his works. However, concerning the ambassadors of the prince of Babylon, who sent to him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him that he might know all that was in his heart. And unfortunately, Hezekiah failed because he proudly shows off all the things that had been given in tribute to Yahweh, to God, as if they were his. Now the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and his good deeds, they're written in the vision of Isaiah. Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the ascent of the tombs of the sons of David. And Manasseh, his son, reigned in his place. And we're going to see how a good man had a bad son. So it's not automatic that anyone believes in God. Just because your parents do does not mean that you must. It just shows that God deals with everybody as individuals, and everybody has got their free choice to make.